Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Who's a Good Dog, the podcast where I ask, just how good are dogs? Everything I've heard so far points to them being the best ever. I'm Kate Lever, journalist and author of the book Good Dog. My co-host, Bert, a Shih Tzu, is asleep, but he sends his regards. On each episode, I speak to someone wonderful about their dog or dogs. I actually recorded this episode a whole year ago from my niece's nursery. But then I got long COVID at a Harry Styles concert, which delayed things somewhat, but here we are. My guest for this episode is Brooke Boney, entertainment reporter for the Today Show in Australia. Brooke started her career as a political correspondent. She actually turned up at Parliament House on the day that Kevin Rudd deposed Julia Gillard as Prime Minister. She was Triple J's breakfast newsreader, and now she gets up really, really early in the morning to appear on Australian TV every day. Brooke is a Gamilaroi woman, and we spoke to each other on Gadigal land in Sydney. She had two pugs, Jimmy and Reuben. Really, really, really sadly, and I'm so sorry to start this episode on a sad note, this episode is now dedicated to their very, very cute memory. Hi, Brooke. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so happy to be speaking to you and on my favorite topic. So to start, I'd like to dedicate this podcast episode to your darling sweet pug, Reuben, who I know died recently. I'm so sad for you. And may I say that I know the size of grief that comes when one of our little dog friends moves on. So I'd love to hear a little bit about him in a moment, if you'd like, but I just wanted to start by acknowledging the sadness. You also have a pug called Jimmy, who I can see right now, a perfect loaf of bread beside you on the sofa. I've seen pictures of Jimmy on your Instagram, including one where he's wearing a jumper moments after he consumed a tub of feta that he stole from your rubbish bin, I believe. He looks like an angel. So let's start with a simple question. Have you always been a pug person?
I don't think I was a pug person. We had a chihuahua when I was growing up called Buster, and we all loved him so, so much. And so I only sort of started getting into pugs or really loving them in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, I'm probably going to be living in the city for such a long period of time, so there's no point sort of getting something that I can't look after properly, or, you know, that wouldn't suit a small apartment. And I thought pugs are perfect because, like, most of the time, you know, you can see Jimmy here, he's just laid out on the couch.
Yeah,
they're so lazy. I mean, they love having a good play and going down to the park, but they're pretty lazy, and so they suit me pretty well. And then the more time that I spent with them, I was like, oh my gosh, like, they are just the perfect dog for me. They're so good. Their personalities, really, they're perfect. And thank you so much for your kind words about Reuben and for the grief that surrounds, you know, when you lose a pet.
Oh, it's just,
enormous sadness. And I ask about the pug thing because I, in my 20s, discovered that the Shih Tzu is my perfect breed. And I got a little Shih Tzu, definitely not purebred. I think there was all sorts going on with her, but she was called Natasha when we adopted her in Sydney from Monica's Doggy Rescue. We renamed her Lady Fluffington. And she is no longer with us, but I remember sort of just walking around the house howling for the days after she died. But similar to you, I also discovered that she was ideal for my lifestyle because I work from home and she would just nap at my feet. But now I have another Shih Tzu called Bert, who lives with me in London, where I usually am. And he would be doing something very similar to Jimmy right now, just sort of being as close as possible, but also as, you know, sedentary and cozy as possible. So shall we start at the beginning? Can you tell me how Reuben and Jimmy came into your life?
Yes. So I think I was maybe about 21 and it was in Sydney, and I had a boyfriend who used to travel a lot for work. Like, he was away for, you know, weeks and weeks at a time. And I was obsessed with pugs. I was totally obsessed. And so I was looking at all of these websites, like I know that Monica's used to have a lot of pugs, and mm-hmm. it's like, oh, there's a pug here, let's go and look at it. Or, oh, this person has just had a litter, let's go and look at it. Or, you know, walking through a shopping center and seeing a pug in like the window of a pet store. And I was obsessed. And eventually he just surrendered and was like, okay, you can get a pug, you know? And so I was like, oh, great. I've got, you know, a pug to keep me company while he's away. And then after a few months of having Reuben, I was like, oh, but what about when I go to work during the day? Reuben's lonely.
Reuben needs a friend.
Yeah.
My pug needs a pug.
Yeah, my pug needs a pet. So Jimmy, I adopted from a lady who I found on Gumtree. And it was really sweet when I got Jimmy. Reuben wasn't de-sexed yet, and he was about 6 months old. Mm. And then when they took him in to have surgery, they said, oh, there's this little spot on his face that looks a bit, you know, a bit precarious. What, you know, what's this? And they tested it, and it was a little mast cell tumor. So I always say that Jimmy saved Reuben's life because we wouldn't have known what it was otherwise. And yeah, they just became very, very good friends very quickly. And similar to you, when I adopted Jimmy, the lady who I adopted him from had called him James Blunt.
Oh, the full name. I love dogs that have a full name.
I know. So I was like, I reckon we'll just go with Jimmy.
That is very funny.
Yeah. And so that would have been, what, 13 years ago.
Oh, so Jimmy's 13 and he's looking good.
Yeah.
Doesn't look he's a day over good. 12.
No. I think he's feeling it this week, though. He's been in the wars a little bit. He's had a bit of a cough, which you might hear.
So, I mean, I describe things very rarely as life-changing, but I would say that getting a dog is life-changing. I find that my dog makes my life better every day. So how did your dogs change your life? You know, how did they make it better when they came to stay with you?
I think they make you grow up pretty quick. Because you know, when you're in your 20s, you know, your life is pretty much just about yourself. You're trying to like find your feet and your career and figure out who you are. Mm. And then all of a sudden you have to like look after another thing that's alive, and that sort of depends on you. So it really is a very grounding experience getting a pet. Mm. It sort of tethers you to something, you know, sort of just floating about doing whatever you want anymore. And so there's lots of like responsibilities and jobs and time. But in doing all of that, I think you sort of are forced to grow up. Mm. A bit more. And I don't know if it's a stretch to say, but you just love them so much. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, the sort of love that you feel towards your little nieces and nephews, you know, that you've got this thing that you're responsible for and that depends on you completely. And it's a pretty wonderful experience, like that sort of emotion, because it's not the same as like a romantic love or the love that you feel from your parents or towards your siblings or something.
Yeah.
And so at that time, it's like, oh, like, it's a really beautiful experience getting a pet.
Oh, I completely agree. And I do think it's one of those things that's kind of shorthand with other people who know that type of love. It's one of those real, if you know, you know things, because I feel like it is a unique kind of love between a person and a dog. And I think we're just so lucky to have them, these precious little creatures.
Oh. Hi, everybody. My name's Helen.
And I'm Kobe.
And we're from FlixWatcher, a podcast in the Strip Media family.
We are a movie podcast and we review films that are just on Netflix in the UK.
So if you've ever struggled to find a film on Netflix to watch, we're the podcast for you.
We have guests on from other podcasts, big and small, just like these guys that you listen to now. They choose the films and we rate them and discuss them with our unique scoring system.
You can find FlixWatcher on any podcast app by searching FlixWatcher. That's F-L-I-X Watcher.
And if you want more information about any of the other podcasts in the Strip Media family, just visit www.stripped.media to find out more.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I think it's so funny you said that you basically had to convince your boyfriend to get your pugs originally, because that is very much what I had to do. I've done it twice now with my ex-boyfriend and with Lady Fluffington, and then broke up with him, moved to London, fell in love with an extremely British man and convinced him to get a shih tzu. So, you know, they say people have types. I have a process in my romantic relationships. And certainly, like, I know at the time, I think my boyfriend Jono was almost humoring me by allowing me to get a dog. I say allow, you know, I guess you'd in a partnership, you do have to make that decision together. I certainly put him through it. You know, I think the night that I found Bert on the Battersea website — Battersea is a rescue shelter in the UK — I think I sent him 63 messages in a sort of stretch of 2 hours while he was working late at night, because I just
that's so funny.
Became deranged.
But you do, you find something online and you become obsessed with it. That's how I was with pugs for like a good period. I was
exactly
like, oh, there's another one. Oh, look, this one is black. Oh,
I know. And I think, I mean, my radar for shih tzus and anything that resembles a shih tzu, it's just flawless. We'll be walking down the street and Jono will be like, have you seen that dog over there? You know, 100 meters away up to the left. I'll be like, please. I've already sussed out how old I think
it
is.
Yeah.
I'm all over it. That's the same online.
I've already guessed its name.
Exactly. And I think now my boyfriend very much loves our dog as much as I do, but is sort of a bit more restrained about it. Mm. You know, here I am recording a podcast. I've written a book. I'll tell anyone about my dog who will listen ever. Tell me how your dogs sort of has affected the relationships in your life, romantic, friendship, family.
I think it's a good yardstick, isn't it? Like if you've been dating someone and seeing how they interact with your pets, like with the pugs. Like, I know if I liked someone and then they just weren't very good with my pugs, then I'd be like, oh, they're probably not for me.
Yeah.
Because it's a package deal, right? Like, what are you going to do? Mm. You're not going to like get rid of your dogs because of, you know, someone that you meet. So it's like a big deal. And in terms of like my family and my friends and stuff, like Jimmy comes nearly everywhere with me. Like if I could bring him on planes, because we're not allowed to do that in Australia, then he would probably come everywhere with me. But, you know, like if I'm going over to a friend's house for a cup of tea or like for a glass of wine, then he'll come and just sort of like potter about, and they've got like treats for him, and he's got like his little bowl that he has when he goes over. You know, like that's his, he's just sort of always around. And my mum treats Jimmy and Ruben as well like they're her grandchildren.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
I mean, my mom did a family tree recently and she included Bert. my little name and my little face on the family tree and my boyfriend, and then we lead down to a little dog picture. Which I think is so inclusive and sweet. And yesterday was Australian Mother's Day. You know, my mom was giving my sister photos of her new baby and that sort of thing. And we had a Mother's Day brunch, and she presented me with a little key ring that had my dog on it and said, you know,
Happy Dog
Mom's Day, which I think is just so sweet. So, you know, it's good to have a mom who recognizes their canine grandchildren.
Yeah, and I think because they've been around for so long, so they've seen them grow up, they've sort of, you know, been through all of the ups and downs and, everything with them. So they love them just as much. And, you know, in times when I've traveled a lot or been away for work, you know, they'll always go and stay with mum.
Yeah.
And come back heavier. A lot heavier. She just feeds them treats all the time.
I was literally about to say, you know, I'm watching my parents delight in being grandparents to human grandchildren at the moment. And I think it's like physically impossible for grandparents or people of that generation not to feed their grandchildren dog or human extra treats.
Oh, yeah. For them, it's like against the law or something. Like they have to. It's the law of being a grandparent that they just give them treats. I'm like, Mom, you can't. He's overweight. He needs to lose weight.
Oh, little Jimmy.
Yeah.
Bless. He's there thinking, oh, I'm perfect how I am. So tell me, in your household, is there like a pack leader? Does Jimmy know that you're the head of the household?
So I'm really not good at like training dogs. I think that that's evolved a lot since I first got my dogs. Like when I hear people talking about how the training that they go through and the research that they've done and how they go about raising their puppies now, I'm like, whoa, I was just really winging it. Like, I don't know if I did it right.
Yeah.
In fact, I know I did it wrong. And so like, I think that probably Jimmy thinks that he rules the roost, but when Ruben was alive, it was funny seeing the two of them interact because he was like a lot more boisterous and Jimmy's a lot more reserved and like a lot more quiet, like he just sort of chills out.
Yeah.
But then there would be certain interactions where you would realize that actually Jimmy was the boss of Ruben and Ruben was just a bit of his lackey, but because his personality was so much louder, you assumed that he was the boss of everyone, which is so funny. You know, they do like, I don't know if you've seen it, but sometimes they do like the old like 1-2. So like one of them will create like a diversion and I'll go away from my food and then the other one will like go and eat the food.
Oh my God.
And so Ruben would always be the one who would like create the diversion and Jimmy would get the spoils of their, you know, of their scheme. So that's when I sort of started realizing that, wait a minute, no, Jimmy's the more dominant one. Mm-hmm. He's just a lot more quiet in how he goes about his business. But since Ruben died at the start of the year, my relationship with Jimmy has changed so much. Mm. He's so much more clingy, where he would be way more comfortable previously to do his own thing and, you know, sleep on his own and be pretty independent. If I walk into the other room, he sort of scurries after me.
Oh.
If I like... Yeah, it's really sad. Yeah. And like he's not good at being on his own anymore. And I don't even know how to describe it. Like even if I sort of moved away from him on the couch, like he would sort of scurry over and want to be sort of right next to me, which is quite, you know, it's lovely. It's really sweet. But then I just feel really sad for him because I don't know. Like I wish I could understand what his experience of this whole thing is.
Mm.
I wish I could explain that when I go to work, I am coming back. Like I'm not leaving forever.
I always think that about my dog. I mean, I barely leave my dog, particularly in the last couple of years. But when I do, I also get really anxious about that. And to be honest, if there's any separation anxiety, it's on my part, not his. But my boyfriend always says to me, do you know what? Every time you come back, you're training him to understand that you will come back. You know, I think dogs experience emotion. I know there would be some skeptics on that sort of theory, but I expect he's sort of grieving in his own way, even if he obviously doesn't fully understand the concept of death. He's probably like, where's my mate Ruben? I need someone to distract Brooke while I go and get the food.
Yeah. So, I wonder what he thinks about that. I know that they do experience emotion on some sort of level, but I wonder what his comprehension of like where his brother went is. Like it's so bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, I think the comfort for him is I think dogs mainly exist in the present. I don't think they do a lot of, you know, reminiscing on the past or thinking about their futures. So I think he's probably just like, oh, you know, I'm going about my day. But I think there must be some sort of mystery. Well, if you think about it, I also think that dogs have sort of the intellectual capacity of a two-year-old. And if you think about the fact my niece, Poppy, the best girl in the world, is two at the moment, and she would comprehend if someone suddenly wasn't in the household all the time anymore. So I guess maybe there's a little bit of understanding there that there's someone important in Jimmy's life who's no longer around. So poor little nugget going through his own little sort of mourning process, I guess.
I know. He's acting different, and he's acting in ways that I've never seen him act before in the 13 years that I've had him. So, like, what does he think about? How does he? And he's dreaming a lot more. Like, his dreams are a lot more sort of vivid. And I don't know whether that's like a stress thing or, I don't know, it might be the same as humans in that way.
If you don't mind, if we just talk about Ruben for a minute, am I correct in thinking that Ruben had dementia when he was around?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, because my grandma's dog, who outlived her but is also no longer with us, Archie, he had dementia. He was living with my uncle and his two other dogs and his three daughters, his wife. And for him, dementia mainly meant that he was at the top of the stairs and would like to be at the bottom of the stairs. And when he got to the bottom of the stairs, he didn't know where he was and he wanted to go back up to the top of the stairs. And it was a lot of staring at walls, and it was a lot of sort of looking very confused. And we think my dad has three dogs, Agnes, Maisie, and Molly. And Molly, who is the biggest golden retriever I've ever seen, we believe might have dementia at the moment. And again, for her, it's a lot of sort of staring at things. And you can see her just trying to process what's going on. Can you tell me a little bit about Ruben's dementia and what that meant to care for a dog who had that kind of condition?
Yeah, so the staring thing he was doing a little bit of, like sometimes he would just be like staring at a wall or something, but he was quite like boisterous and quite like rambunctious. So, you know, he didn't sort of stand still for too long, but he would do this thing called sundowning. It's apparently like something that people do when they have like Alzheimer's or dementia, and it's just that particular time of the day with that sort of light and, you know, that sort of mood. It sort of is disorienting for them. And so he would have these like sort of weird, not like a seizure, but like he would bark at nothing and growl and then sort of shake a little bit, but he was just sort of really disoriented and would get really moody and weird at that time of the day. And so I took him to the vet because I was like, gosh, is my dog possessed?
Yeah.
What's going on here? And so they diagnosed him with dementia and said, you know, look, there's a bunch of things we can do. Eventually he might get to a stage where he doesn't recognize you anymore. He doesn't know anything about where he is. I know. And so I was like, oh, far out. That's heartbreaking.
Oh,
like,
it is heartbreaking.
So they put him on Prozac. And that really helped. It really helped because he was doing the sundowning like a few times a week.
Did you sneak the Prozac into cheese or peanut butter or something for him?
Yeah, cheese. He loved it in cheese.
Yeah.
And that really sorted him out. That really fixed him up. And then there was another one that they put him on as well, closer to the end, that increased blood flow and so oxygen to his brain. And that was really effective. So if there's anyone who's sort of, you know, thinking that their dog is exhibiting those sorts of things, like, definitely talk to your vet about it because there's stuff they can do to treat it.
And
he was quite comfortable. Like, there weren't really any crazy side effects.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Do you have any favorite memories of him? Any particular standout moments when he did something sweet or funny? Or
he's just so cute. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it's just like having a little buddy who is always enthusiastic with you.
Yeah.
You go through everything with them and they're there with you. Like the boyfriend that I was talking about, who I convinced to let me get both of the dogs.
Yeah.
we ended up getting married, and then, you know, it didn't work out. So then we got divorced, and, you know, I moved down to Canberra to work in the press gallery and moved back home and, you know, like had all of these sort of different experiences of, you know, normal life things. But the one constant is the dogs. In the same way that they help grow you up in your 20s, you sort of have something that's grounding with you always. It doesn't matter sort of if everything else fluctuates or contracts or things change and, you know, your life is sometimes a bit unpredictable, or, you know, especially when you're a journalist, because you can get sent anywhere in the world, or you could get sent to cover any round. And so to have that one sort of constant and for them to be reliable and sweet and your comfort. It's, yeah, very special.
It's so special. And when you got divorced, was it just obvious that the pugs would come with you? They were your pugs?
We actually did. We joked at first. We called it shared pugstity.
Yeah, I was cute.
So we would have them, like, we sort of shared them a bit.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, and then we sort of got to the stage where I think he was moving over to Burma for work. Mm. So it just was like a natural thing that they would then come to me. Yeah. But, you know, like every time something would, like a big milestone or, you know, something serious would happen, I would always like message and say like, hi, just want to let you know that, you know, Ruben's sick or Jimmy's going in for an operation or that Ruben's passed away or whatever. And so, you know, I think it's the sort of thing that you always, even if you're not around them all the time, you always want to be kept in the loop.
Oh, definitely.
But I think that like I've had, yeah, pretty lucky experience of that sort of thing.
I'm glad. And shared pugstity is a very good term. It's always good if you
it's very cute.
Get a new term out of something.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, look, I think Ruben was very lucky to have you. It sounds like you are a gorgeous pug mum. And Jimmy looks like he's having a good life. He's just sitting next to you, you know, being perfect in every way. I'd love to hear a bit more about your life with Jimmy in terms of, because I know you get up hideously early in the morning to do breakfast television.
Yeah.
How does Jimmy feel when you get up at, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning?
So Jimmy's always offended when I wake up.
Yeah.
He's like, what the hell? Like I've like mortally offended him by, you know, waking up at the same time that I do every day. He's like, what the heck is going on here? This is crazy. And so then I've been letting him like sleep on my bed since Ruben died. Then I sort of move him out into the lounge room. And he's just like, I'm not into this at all. And on the days when I feel like, oh, he's going to be like, there's an extended period of time that I'm going to be out of the house today. I sort of don't want to leave him on his own for that long. So then I'll like take him into work with me or if he's feeling a bit sick or something.
Yeah.
Like he had gastro last week and so I didn't want to leave him at home.
If you're going to vomit anywhere.
If you're going to have a poo explosion somewhere, please do it in my dressing room. He comes in and he's like super excited to be taken on an excursion. He's like, yes, where are we going? And then by the time we get home, he's so exhausted and so cranky at me for like disrupting his peace. I'm like, why do you want to come with me then? Like, but there was one day in particular when I took him into work with me in the morning and then I had meetings and photo shoots and interviews and stuff all day. So I booked him into daycare for a full day.
Mm-hmm.
And by like 7 o'clock that evening when I like picked him up and brought him home, he was just sort of like splayed out, exhausted, like totally exhausted, like halfway through his dinner, falling asleep, sort of exhausted. And he was just like, I hate this too much, Mum.
I mean, it's like me after a party. You got to come home and recalibrate.
Yeah. So I think like I've got to sort of pick when I take him out and when he's okay at home.
It's times like those I wish you could properly explain to them what was going to happen, because you could say to him in the morning, listen, I'm going to need to be at work for this long. Do you think you want to come with me for that whole time? Have you got it in you or would you rather stay at home? But he doesn't know. And off he goes. Funny little thing. I also, speaking of taking him to work, I saw a little segment of yours not too long ago where I think the segment was about dog owners who look like their dogs. And I believe that Jimmy was involved. He was not, I'm not saying Jimmy looks like you, but he was on the sofa from there. So
yeah,
how does he behave on camera? Is he, you know, a performer, a show dog, a diva?
He's just totally unfazed by everything. He's such a cool character. Like we could be on set or doing something fancy or going somewhere nice. He doesn't care about anything. Like he's the center and master of his own universe. One of my really good friends asked me to sit for her for the Archibalds. Like it's a big portrait prize in Australia.
And I saw, it's beautiful.
It was such an honor. And I felt so lucky to do it. And she's like, I said, oh, if you're just at the studio, I'll bring Jimmy with me. And she's like, yeah, yeah, bring him along. And then we ended up just sitting there having a cup of tea and Jimmy was on my lap. She's like, oh, well, I think Jimmy should just be in it.
Yeah.
So like last week I was like, Jimmy, your portrait's going to be hung in the gallery. Like
As it should.
This is such a huge thing. And it was so funny because like I'm sitting there like, this is so exciting. Oh my gosh, I'm so proud of my friend and also so excited. And then like just nothing. I wish there was a way that I could explain it to him. Do you realize how big a deal this is?
Do you know, this is yet another experience that I empathize with. I wrote a book called Good Dog, which is about the mental health benefits of having a dog. And when it came out in Australia, I went on the Today Show Extra, and it was during COVID times, but obviously because a lot of the book is about Bert, Bert came with me to the little studio where I was on my own because couldn't be, you know, with the hosts because of COVID. Yeah. And he sat on my lap, and obviously he had no idea either, but we were on television together and I was in the middle of making an important point. And when I watched it back later, I could see him just doing an enormous yawn on my lap. Like, this is, I've heard all of this before. You know, you need to get some new stories. I was also so proud because I don't know who was in charge and I didn't notice it at the time, but when I watched it back, the little tagline at the bottom of the screen during our story was "world's best boy."
Oh.
And I'm always telling Bert he's the world's best boy.
So he was just sitting there being a good boy.
Being the best boy. And I was like, I've got evidence now. You know, no one can argue with me. It's official. Yeah. Australian Breakfast Television.
He's just there being the best boy.
Has declared him world's best boy. So I was very proud, extremely proud, because when my publicist came to me and they asked me what I would ideally like to promote the book, I said, you know what? I don't care about anything else. If you get my dog on breakfast television in Australia, that's your job done. Like, I just want my dog to be a star just one day. So I guess my next question is, so are you an insufferable stage mum like me who tries to put Jimmy into every promotional opportunity you can?
No, I feel like I'm the opposite. I'm very chill about that sort of stuff. And you know, like when you do have a profile and you have a dog, people are always wanting you to do like dog related things, like, oh, do you want to come to this dog event, or do you want to promote this like dog product or whatever? And I'm like, my dogs can't do anything. They don't give a shit. Like, they're not going to do any like cute tricks or anything. And the other thing is as well, like, he doesn't care about trying to impress people. Like, he's not like trying to get attention from others. It could be like the president of the United States or something coming over to give him a pat, and he'll just sort of like turn away. Like, he doesn't care. Oh, you're trying to get down, mate. There you go. He's got a bit of a cough.
Bless him.
Yeah.
He's not interested in being on the podcast.
He's just his own man. And so quite often I just sort of feel a bit embarrassed.
So the next part of the little podcast, I'll let you get on with your life and your day in a moment, but I do a little sort of quick fire session just to get to know Jimmy a little bit more. So it's just more about his preferences in life. What is Jimmy's favorite toy?
Oh, he loves the Kong ones where you get the treats out of it, like where you have to roll it around on the floor. Yeah, he loves those.
An absolute classic. What makes Jimmy angry?
Oh, seeing, you know, the Apple like hold screen where the dolphins sort of swim across. He hates it. I don't know what it is about it, but maybe he thinks they're like in the room with us or something, but he hates it. And every other sort of cityscape or whatever, he'll just sort of like sit there and watch it. But if I'm doing something and those dolphins come on, he's like, rah, 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 and he's not very vocal. So it's very funny.
Most people think that dolphins are a very calming image, but not Jimmy.
No, not in our house.
Does Jimmy have any friends or love interests at the park?
Do you know what? He doesn't care that much about what everyone else is doing. What he does try to do at the dog park is go around and get pats from the owners. So he'll like go over and sit in front of them. And I don't know whether he thinks they've got treats or what sort of things they've got in their like bags or whatever, but he'll just go and like ignore the dogs. And especially as he's gotten older, like he doesn't care so much for playing. He cares if he gets pats, that's his main thing.
Does Jimmy have any outfits or costumes, and what are his thoughts on being dressed in them?
He does. My mum bought Reuben and Jimmy little elf outfits for Christmas a few years ago, and he's not interested at all.
If Jimmy could speak, what sort of voice do you think he'd have?
I think he would have a gravelly voice that's quite deep. because he's a bit of an old man.
Yeah, I think so too. I would agree with that. Is there anything you wish you could tell Jimmy that he'd really understand?
I wish I could explain where Reuben went.
Yeah, yeah.
And also that I'm always coming home.
Exactly, exactly.
And also that eating feta is not good for you.
Yeah. I'm sure the aftermath of the feta consumption was not great. Brooke and Jimmy, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'm so glad we could get together finally.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm also so glad that Jimmy was present because, as you can see, I do not have Bert with me right now. He'll be asleep somewhere in London.
Oh, I bet you miss him.
Oh, I miss him so much. You know what's weird? I feel I miss the weight of him. It's like I can feel his absence. And also I'm shocked by how quiet it is in terms of there's no little tippy-tappy noises everywhere I go following me. But, oh, Jimmy is looking absolutely beautiful right now.
Yeah, he's quite regal. He knows how to strike
a pose. So regal, so noble. But thank you so much for chatting to me.
No, no worries at all.
Thank you.
See ya. Nice to meet you. Bye.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you for listening to Who's a Good Dog. If you liked the show, hit subscribe on your favourite podcast app and tell your friends at the dog park. If you didn't like it, keep it to yourself. And if you really, really liked it, I actually wrote a whole book about dogs. It's called Good Dog, celebrating the dogs who change and sometimes even save our lives. It's about my dog, Bert, and how he helped me through depression, and 10 other good dogs who've helped their people too. There's an elegant Labrador who supports the victims of crime, an autism support pug, and a collie who can smell blood sugar. Basically, if you like dogs, I can almost guarantee you'll like this book. This episode of Who's a Good Dog was produced by Arlie Adlington. Original music is by Luke Batt, and the artwork is by Ryan Hodge. Cuddles and big dog yawns provided by Bertie the dog.
Who's a good dog?
You just heard a Stripped Media production.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.